Amen. Church said? They're just flat out good. I'm glad I've been coming here for a while. If I would have walked in today and heard all this commotion, yelling and stuff, I think there was a charismatic church or something. You just hold it down over there. Get some of the ushers and wheel you out of here. It's kind of hard to believe that expository, fundamental, evangelical church can also know how to worship.
Amen.
Now, what I said was worship. We got a lot of churches that entertain. When we want you to leave here, we want you to feel that you have met the Lord.
Amen.
And if you don't feel that way, it's because you weren't ready and prepared before you walked through these doors. The choir cannot get you ready to worship. The church cannot get you ready to worship. Only you being controlled by the Holy Spirit and having the right attitude before you get here can get you ready to worship.
Amen.
Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
We're here to start our series after the genealogies about Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew. So I ask you please to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. We're going to talk about Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity we have to open your word. It is good, whatever you have written. And Father, we pray now, I pray that you will move your servant out of the way, that you will have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. And Lord, I pray that you teach me that others may be taught. For this book of Matthew is about you being the rightful king of the Jews and being God. May we gather a few thoughts today to make our minds clearer than what they are about you. Thank you for the privilege of being able to stand before your people and to say what you have said, and to declare the Lord Jesus Christ is alive and is truly God. In Jesus' name we all say, praise God. If you heard amen, you know they're visiting. We got some problems on that, Doug. Got that? Okay. I want to read you something from an 8-year-old third grader from Chula Vista, California, who was asked to explain who God is. I liked it. And since we are talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and God the Father who sent his Son to us through the book of Matthew, I thought this would be a good thing to kick off with today. So somewhere between getting cancer and turning 50, I need these glasses to read. Amen. Man, I can't see with the glasses on. I better pull them out. Explain God. 8-year-old Danny Dutton of Chula Vista, California, for his third grade homework assignment to explain who God is. One of God's main jobs is making people. He makes them to replace the ones that die. So there would be enough people to take care of the things on earth. He doesn't make grown-ups, just babies. I think because they are smaller and easier to make. That way he doesn't have to take up his valuable time teaching them to talk and walk. He can leave that up to mothers and fathers. God's second most important job is listening to prayers. An awful lot of this goes on, since some people like preachers and things pray at times besides bedtime. I didn't know that about preachers. God doesn't have time to listen to the radio or TV because of this. God sees everything and hears everything and is everywhere, which keeps him pretty busy. So you shouldn't go wasting his time by going over your mom and your dad's head asking for something they said you couldn't have. Atheists are people who don't believe in God. I don't think there's any in Chula Vista. At least there aren't any who come to our church. Jesus is God's son. He used to do all the hard work, like walking on the water, performing miracles, and people finally got tired of him preaching to them, and they crucified him. But he was good and kind, like his father, and he told his father that they didn't know what they was doing and to forgive them, and God said, okay. His dad, God, appreciated everything he had done and all his hard work on earth, so he told him he didn't have to go out on the road anymore. He could stay in heaven, so he did. And now he helps his dad out by listening to the prayers and seeing things which are important for God to take care of and which ones he can take care of himself without having to bother God, see. He's kind of like a secretary, only more important. You can pray anything you want, and they are sure to help you because they got it worked out. So one of them is on duty all the time. You should always go to church on Sunday because it makes God happy. And if there is anybody you want to make happy, it's God. Don't skip church to do something you think would be more fun, like going to the beach. This is wrong. And besides, the sun doesn't come out at the beach until noon anyway. If you don't believe in God besides being an atheist, you would be very lonely because your parents can't go everywhere with you, like the camp, but God can. It is good to know he's around you when you are scared in the dark or when you can't swim and you get thrown into real deep water by big kids. But you shouldn't just always think of what God can do for you. I figure God put me here and he can take me back anytime he pleases. And that's why I believe in God. Keep these thoughts with you throughout the coming years. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If he had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring and a sunrise every morning. Whenever you want to talk, he'll listen. He could live anywhere in the universe and he chose your heart. What about the Christmas gift he sent you in Bethlehem, not to mention that Friday at Calvary? Face it, he's crazy about you. Amen. Coming from an 8-year-old boy, I think he got a pretty good idea about who our Lord and Savior is without all the theology. The problem we got when we look at the book of Matthew is that we're going to find out that there's a lot of things written about Jesus Christ that we believe that hadn't been written by God. As we go through this book of Matthew and as we look at the genealogies, for 3 weeks we've been in the genealogies of Matthew 1. It is an amazing thing to me that after the proof of walking through the blue blood of royalty, to come to the realization that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is the rightful King of the Jews, the first thing the Bible deals with is divorce. For that is what Joseph was thinking about doing. We want to clear some things up scripturally today. Now, hear me and hear me well. I make no apologies to what the Bible teaches. I do not have any say-so over what you have done before you've come here. If you are in a marriage now, Antioch Bible Church is going to hold you accountable for the marriage you're in now. We are going to work with you to make it the greatest marriage you have ever had for the glory of God. And if you try to get out of it, we're going to make sure that you wish you were in front of God. No one made you get married. No one forced you. No one held a gun to your head. But God is a God of love, and he expects you to know what he hates and what he loves. He came to die on this cross so he can give you the strength to overcome any difficulties. And I have said before, as we're going through the genealogies, that I think the next great horror of the Bible is Christians getting divorces. This, my friends, is the truth of God. It is a difficult truth and a lot of bad misconceptions and a lot of bad interpretations. Now, Antioch Bible Church love you. We will support you. We will put our arms around you in whatever state you're in when you walked in the door. We want this to work. But the most important thing to Antioch Bible Church is the Word of God. Amen. You or no one else or myself is more important than the Word of God. If you are convicted today, it is because you need to deal with the Word of God. If you feel that I am trying to convict you today, please throw that out of your mind. I have no vendettas, and I have nothing to prove. But I do have a responsibility before God Almighty to hold to every word that he has given us in the Bible and to make sure there is not any wrong misinterpretations of Christians trying to get out of what they know is right to do. Again, Antioch Bible Church confirmed their love to you. And whatever state you are in marriage, that is where we hold you to. You cannot go over and do the past and redo it. But you sure can start today to live a great, successful, fruitful life in Christ, starting with his word with us in Antioch Bible Church. And as long as we know that you are doing what you need to do to work things out right, we will be with you. Because I have been accused of being too loyal. And I'm going to give you a secret. If I go to heaven being accused of being too loyal, I think I have left a great epitaph in this earth. Because I think God is too loyal. And he has put up with a lot of us when others have said long ago, goodbye. Can I get a witness here, church? Because I'm looking for a few good men to do what? For the Word of God. In order to understand what we're about to do, we have to back up to verse 16. Because there are some absolutely fantastic apologetical statements made in verse 16 and then again in 18. But if we are too busy trying to figure out how fast we can get away from the boring parts of the Bible, the genealogies, we will miss those truths. If you missed the first 17 verses in the last 3 weeks, please get the tape. There was some good stuff and even some funny stuff in some of those. Verse 16, as we have come 1 through 15, and he begot he, 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 he begot he, and he begot a lot more he's. Down to the end of 15, beginning with verse 16. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Isn't it amazing that one of the greatest apologetics in the whole aspect that we've already proven is that Christ could not come through the lineage of David simply by Jeconiah. We've already established that in Jeremiah there was a curse, and the curse was to Coniah, Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, known as Jehoiakim, that none of his descendants will ever sit on the throne of God ever again. And the only way there can be a Savior, a Messiah, a king, and a priest of the Jews will have to come through the lineage of Nathan, not Solomon, through Mary, without the seed of Jeconiah, which must be a virgin birth. And here in verse 16, it gives us that truth. Not through Joseph, but through his wife, Mary, was the Lord Jesus Christ born. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, many of us are sitting here, and we're trying to say, Pastor, how important is that statement? It is all-inclusive and all-important, because the sin of man was passed down through the seed of man, not the egg of woman. And since man's seed was eliminated in the birth of Christ, Christ can be born without sin. And he is still a Jew, being born of a Jewish woman, who Jewish law says that if you're going to be Jewish, it's got to be born of a woman, not just a man. And then we go back to the lineage of Jesus Christ, and the Bible overrides that, because there are two non-Jews in the lineage of the Savior who became believers in God, and then still their sons was called Jews. Get the tapes. Amen. Verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. I don't care how you count it. I disagree with commentaries. I disagree with most of the theologians. You cannot get 14 generations out of those three sets of generations, from David, from Abraham, down to Josiah and Jeconiah, and then from Shealtiel down to Christ. It is no way you're going to get 14 generations, because in some of those generations, if you count them the same, David twice, that's not really 14 generations. If you count Josiah twice, you can't count Jesus Christ. If you start other way, you can only get 14, 14, and 13 unless you count Mary, which is totally out of the whole realm of Jewish counting. The only way I believe you can get 14 generations is to count Christ and to count Mary. Change it. Check it out. Study it. Deal with it. Can't hear you. Amen. So we'll sit down and talk about that together sometime. But I believe what the Bible say. The Bible says there are 14 generations. Each. Now it's up to us to put down what we've been taught and to come up with the truth of what the Bible says. Y'all are saying, come on, Pastor. Put the word on us, baby. Excuse me, this is the east side. Could you please translate those into theological understandings for us? Here we go. Thank you, Kent. Verse 18. Another great apologetic. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was in this way: when his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph. Again, the Bible reiterates that it had nothing to do with Joseph. Verse 18 says, Jesus' mother, when she was betrothed, engaged to Joseph. This is an extremely important truth to understand, that without the fulfillment of Scripture, Jesus Christ is nothing but another prophet who said they're sent from God with the only truth. Christianity is not like any other religion. Christianity is not just a good religious thought. Christianity is not one of the other beliefs. Christianity is the greatest belief in all the world. And I stand with any religion, anywhere, anytime, and tell them, I don't think you're just as good as me. But you got to be sensitive. Says who? You know, I could have told a doctor when he told me I had cancer, doctor, that's going to ruin my life for a while. You should be sensitive. Lie. Can't hear you. Now, the lie may make me feel good for a while, but that lie can kill me. Can't hear you. And me telling you that Christianity is like any other religion can may make you feel good according to how you've been raised, but it can kill you. So at Antioch, are we in the business of killing people? Some people think so. For a amount of time, you had to sit in them little bitty chairs right there. Amen. Woo! When his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Folks, how important is this statement for you and I to understand the importance of marriage? We have to understand again that the book of Matthew is written to prove that Jesus is the rightful king of the Jews. So there are going to be many examples in the book of Matthew that's going to relate to Jewish tradition and customs that you won't find in of the other three gospels. Do you know what espoused, betrothed, engaged meant in Jewish circles? A year before the wedding, they would exchange their vows. And for a year, usually a year, that would be a separation between the husband and the wife. Meaning no sex and her not moving in to prove purity. Do you understand this? This is extremely important to understand this, because I believe a misunderstanding of this truth is what everyone, especially Christians, are jumping on to say that I can divorce if there is sexual immorality in my marriage. I know for a fact, if you go back and study biblical terms and biblical truth, that it would tell you in Deuteronomy which adultery or fornication, we're going to explain those, in marriage was punishable by death. Can't hear you. Death. We have already established that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is under New Testament law or under Old Testament law. Old Testament law. Christ has not died. He has not paid for the sin of the world. He is not resurrected. Old Testament law still exists when Christ walked on the earth. Now check this out. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 23-29, and it'll get real bad if you go to verse 30, but we won't. We'll stop at 29. Are you listening? We're going to really get into those verses when we get over to Matthew 19, when it talks about New Testament divorce. Chapter 19 will be in about 4.5 years. So I didn't want you to wait for 4.5 years to just get a taste. Amen. But in Deuteronomy chapter 22, talking about divorce and talking about rape and talking about marriage, listen to what it says towards someone who rapes a virgin who is not betrothed. You listen to this. It says, if a man takes a virgin and humbles her, ladies, did you hear this? And humbles her. That means if he has sex with you, he has humbled you, and you have allowed him to humble you. That if that person takes advantage of you, or you allow them to take advantage of you, and you are not espoused, means you are not engaged to be married to someone else, that man has to pay your dad 50 pieces of silver. That's even more than what Judas got for selling out Jesus Christ. He has to pay your father 50 pieces of silver, then he has to marry you and never put you away from being his wife. Now, if God will put in his book that someone who rapes or has sex with a virgin before marriage, that he has to pay a debt to her father and marry her and never get a divorce, do you think he's going to make it easier for Christians to get in and out of divorce? Can't hear you, church. We're going to set a premise up by the time we get over here that I believe is going to eliminate a lot of discussion about divorce. Because I want to ask you a question. Can I please ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you a question. What if, as your pastor, you find out that I got the worst temper in all the world at home? I curse and tell my wife off. I curse and beat my kids. And then I get up here and tell you that God has the power to help you overcome anything. Would I be worth listening to? I want to ask you, would you dare submit unto me? Let me ask you another question. If you are a believer and your wife or your husband is a believer and you say, we can't work this out as Christians, I'm out of here. Do you have a right to be heard on how powerful God is? This is serious business. Now, I know many of you may not ever be back, but you're going to get it today. Because Antioch is not a popularity contest trying to win. I will walk with one man and one woman who want to live the whole word of God than 5,000 or 6,000 who is playing a Christian game and will make God's name worse in society than better. Thank you. Thank you for the 3 and 4 that will be walking with me. Now, shall we boil down a little bit more about this whole situation, why there's misunderstandings when it comes to the book of Matthew?
Yes, sir.
Let me break it down for you a little bit here. Oh, I'm having fun. Rest of you seem a little uptight. Is anyone here thinking about divorcing their husband or their wife? Boy, that kind of slipped out, didn't it? No, Pastor. Not in let you know. Now, let me show you what I mean by that. Let's break this down. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, when he found out that his fiancée, his betrothal, his wife, who he has not had sex with yet, is pregnant. He decides to put her away in private. Why would he put her away in private? Because even though she is betrothed to him, there's no sex involved in the sexual union, only vows that have been given. He still knows that the law says if he gives her a writ of divorce, she will be killed on the spot. Now, anyone have any problems knowing that if your mate is dead, you can remarry? Can't hear you. That's not a biblical discussion. So if they stone your wife after adultery, you are free to get married. If they stone your husband, you are free because he's dead. Now, wait a minute. This can't be right. Why can't this be right? Because they're not married yet. Now, to us, they're not married yet. To Jewish custom, they are married yet without the union. I believe, we're going to break this down a little more, that when we deal with Matthew and when we deal with divorce, if a breakup takes place before a sexual union, it's okay. After sexual union and you become one, God says, no, he even told Hosea, who had a wife who had went away and was a prostitute, go get your wife. God hates divorce. If you and I know God hates something and you say you are a believer and love God, can you do what God hates? You know, yes, you can, because it boils down to your selfishness. And you will justify anything you can to get off of God's dime. We're going to break it down really good now. Oh, woo! Aren't you glad that I'm only going to preach one sermon at one service? And you can get out of here soon? Boy, y'all seem to be locked in. Are we having fun yet? Somebody said, no, I don't like this. Guess what? There's a lot of things in the Bible I don't like. But God didn't ask me my opinion about what I like or don't like. He asked me for my obedience. And watch this. This is smoking. Why would a just man say that I'm going to put her away privately? Did Mary not explain it to him? How many of you think that Mary didn't explain it to him? Or how many of you think maybe Mary tried to explain it to him, but would you believe it? It has never been done this way before in the history of mankind. And it will never be done again in the history of mankind. So don't come to my office. Say, glory to God, Pastor. You won't believe what happened. You are right. I won't believe it. Hmm. Can anyone in here tell me who wanted to believe in a virgin birth more than anybody? Joseph. He needed to believe so bad that God sent a message to him. Now, let me give you something here. Now, this is just a little sideline I want to give you. He may not have believed his wife, but he did believe the message from God. You may not want to believe your husband, but you better believe the word from God. I can't say that clear enough. I don't care if you got, listen, I really don't care if you got confidence in your husband. I really don't care if you don't have confidence in your wife. When I counsel you, I'm not asking you to have more confidence in your mate than you have in the word of God. Amen. And if you don't want to hear that, don't come for counseling. My opinion, sometimes after I do some counseling with couples, I can listen to the woman, and if I had it in my being, I would beat the snot out of that husband. Can't hear you. I would beat him to death because of the things I hear. And I cry with her, yes. He is a dog. Yes, he is. That man ain't worth having. But you know the word of God said, go home. Work it out with it. Bye. And humanly speaking, I can talk to some guys, and it reminds me of Satan walking in a room of pastors, and all the pastors said, ah, and they all ran, except what? And Satan said, ooh, and the guy just kept on reading. He said, hey, I'm Satan. Ooh. And he said, yeah, I know. He said, why aren't you afraid of me? He said, I married your sister 30 years ago. Listen to some guys, and I say, bring her here. I'll beat her. I'll get thrown in jail for wife abuse, and she ain't even my wife. Because the situation is bad. But then I had to quit, and I had to move outside of my own personal feeling, go back to the word of God and say, you married her. You love her. You submit to the word of God, and you work it out. I'm tired and sick and tired of you Christians right here in this church who encourage people to separate and leave. Yeah, you tried it all. Get a divorce, girl. Yeah, man, you stood in there for 10 years. Get a divorce. Who gave you the right? Nobody at this church. We may disagree on how to deal with it. We may disagree on how to deal with court. We may disagree on how to get the law involved. We may disagree on a lot of things in this church. But one thing we will not disagree on, you try to get a divorce and you have no support from this church. We allow Christians to keep their decisions in court too much. We're making a commitment in this church. That ain't going to happen. And as long as you keep the courts involved, we have a hands off. We ain't touching you because you cannot do what God asks you to do if you're in court. Why? I tell you why. Because marriage before God is a serious business. Because the first issue the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came on earth, had to deal with in his family was whether or not there was going to be a divorce. They worked it out by hearing the word of God. And I think this is a lot more difficult to believe than my mate can change. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Talk to the pastor. Which is more difficult to believe? There's a virgin birth or my mate can change? The pastor is listening. Now, you also got to remember what I said earlier, and that was, sometimes God won't change your mate because you're in the way.
That's right.
And why is he going to bless you in your rebellion? By changing your mate first. Oh, man, I had to laugh for you because I know some of y'all going to get mad if I didn't laugh. We're just about out now. Here we go. Anyone want to say, here we go? Here we go. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. Woo, woo. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. They are engaged. They are betrothal. There's no sex. There's no union. But there has been a commitment. And the angel of the Lord called Mary, according to Jewish customs, his fiance, his girlfriend, his main squeeze, his road dog, or his wife. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on the east side, right? Y'all didn't understand road dog, did you? I'm sorry. Let me break down the brother term for you. Road dog is your best friend that you can share everything with and keep nothing from. So, girls, you've been smacking your husband if he's black and you're white, thinking he's been putting you down by calling you. Come on, road dog. Let's go, girl. Sometimes I have to let my old self come through sometimes. Woo! I think the Holy Spirit called Mary his wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. You know what's so amazing to me? The things that we don't give to our mates is that the personality that is in them was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Did you hear me? The personality and the quirks sometimes brought on by sin is conceived in the molding of God in them when they was in the womb. And you married them anyway. Now you want to use God's word and their quirks to get out? I don't think so. At all. We'll finish this as we start again next week. And this is good stuff.
Amen.
This is good stuff. All right. Marco?